Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janmayasya yatonvaya itaritaschakteshva vigyaswarat.
Janmayasya yatonvaya
itaritaschakteshva vigyaswarat. Kene brahma hridayat adikavaye muhyanti yatsuraya.
Kene brahma hridayat.
Tejo vari madam yatha vinimayo yatra trisago mrisha.
Tejo vari madam yatha
vinimayo yatra trisago mrisha. Damna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi.
Damna svena sada.
Om.
Om.
Om my Lord.
Om.
Namah.
Offering my obeisances.
Bhagavate unto the personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya unto Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Or Lord Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord. Janmaadi, creation, sustenance, and destruction. Asya. Of the manifested universes. Yata, from whom? Anvayat, directly. Itarata, indirectly. Cha, and. Arteshu, purposes. Abhigya, fully cognizant. Swarat, fully independent. Tene, imparted. Brahma, Vedic knowledge. Rida, consciousness of the heart. Ya, one who. Adi Kavaye, unto the original created being. Muhyanti, our illusion. Yet, about whom? Suraya, great sages and demigods. Teja, fire. Vadi, water. Ridam, earth. Yata, as much as. Vinimaya, action, reaction. Yatra, whereupon. Trisarga, three modes of creation. Creative faculties. Angrisha, almost factual. Dhamna, along with all transcendental paraphernalia. Svena, self-sufficiently. Sada, always. Nirasta, negation by absence. Kuhakam, illusion. Satyam, truth. Param, absolute. Dhimahi, I do meditate upon. Translation. O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Purport. Conditioned souls, beginning from Brahma, who engineers the entire universe, down to the insignificant ant, are all creating but none of them are independent of the Supreme Lord. The materialist wrongly thinks that there's no creator other than his own self. This is called Maya, or illusion. Because of his poor fund of knowledge, the materialist cannot see beyond the purview of his imperfect senses, and thus he thinks that matter automatically takes its own shape without the aid of a superior intelligence. This is refuted in this shloka by Srila Vyasadeva. Since the complete whole, or the absolute truth, is the source of everything, nothing can be independent of the body of the absolute truth. Whatever happens to the body becomes quickly known to the embodied. Similarly, the creation is the body of the absolute whole. Therefore, the absolute knows everything, directly and indirectly, that happens in the creation. Om Ganatimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupadananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. The materialist wrongly thinks that there is no creator other than his own self. How does that show up in our daily affairs? We don't take into account any other controlling factor in our life other than what we see with our limited senses. We see employers, bosses, we see university professors, we see the police force. So we accept control according to what we can see. Now, is that a practical way to go about living life? To simply accept control that you can see. Basically, that is what it means to be a conditioned soul. What you don't see, you don't worry about. And you give yourself credit for being very expert within the realm of what you can see. This is like little children. It's quite childish when you think of it. That I give myself confidence, I give myself credit, because based on what I can see, I'm making big decisions and good decisions. Just think. As soon as we acknowledge that there are factors of control beyond what we can see, then we start to get a little shaky, right? Life seems a bit scary. We like to feel that everything is under our control in terms of how we live our life. Financially, at least that's the goal. You often hear it, to be financially self-sufficient. Emotionally, to be emotionally wholesome and fulfilled, that means you only depend on someone when you want to. In so many ways, we give ourselves credit for being expert in our tiny little world. When you hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, your barriers are dropped and you're opened up to the whole cosmos and beyond. So sometimes we are a little afraid of that. Was my life so bad before when I didn't have to take into account all these fantastic things? Brahma, the demigods, Maya, the material world, the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Krishna Loka, Brahma Jyoti. The Bhagavatam just presents to you such an inconceivable panorama of existence. sometimes persons withdraw. It's just too much. I just want to be left alone in my little tiny world. That's enough for me. For some people, it's like that. But for many others, it's not. They can't feel secure. They can't feel peaceful until they understand their place in the entire scheme of things. So the Bhagavatam is especially meant for those kind of persons who are willing to open up and have a broad, profound, and deep view of everything. If you open yourself up to Srimad Bhagavatam, life is never the same. Bhagavatam works on all levels of the living being, including the emotional level. If you start to read Srimad Bhagavatam for emotional fulfillment, you'll be shocked at what you find. It's got, every page has got feeling. Don't think it's just some kind of metaphysical knowledge that's dry, technical, and scholarly. Most persons, they don't want scholarly information. I've had enough of that in school. But Bhagavatam is not that kind of scholarly knowledge. It actually is the literary presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how could that be so? Is that some kind of fundamentalist statement? We have this book that is not only the Word of God, but it is the literary incarnation of God. People are accustomed to Christians telling them the Bible is the Word of God. But here we're dealing with a text that says it is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what to do? How are you to verify this? You're all world experienced persons. And here you are, associating with the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The verification comes by practical daily experience. If you treat the Bhagavatam in that way, that you're dealing with the Bhagavatam according to its identity, your spiritual life flourishes. That's why Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, teaching how to be a devotee, says that before you are liberated, read Srimad Bhagavatam, and after you are liberated, go on reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So for the Krishna Bhakta, hearing Bhagavatam is an eternal activity. Sometimes we say that, well, I just want to hear Bhagavatam class from some older devotee. Of course, it's nice to hear from senior Vaishnavas. Nevertheless, even a neophyte devotee who's presenting Srimad Bhagavatam as it is can benefit you. It is the sound vibration passed down intact. And whether you're new or old, if you do your beloved duty to present Srimad Bhagavatam, someone will be touched. This was Srila Prabhupada's answer to the riddle he posed to himself when he arrived in North America for the first time. He said, how will these people ever be Krishna conscious? Just look at them. Look what they're doing. Just passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance. Not even material mode of goodness. It's not the three modes of material nature. It's the two modes of material nature. It's very complimentary in this day and age to talk about three modes of material nature. So, he posed that question to himself. Look at what's going on. How will these people ever be Krishna conscious? And then he said, but if they hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that hearing will cleanse their heart. It will do the impossible, in other words. This is how powerful Srimad Bhagavatam is. So, the Bhagavatam breaks down our barriers in which we have walled ourselves into a tiny little world which we're going to try to make work for us, right? You've got your body, which is a bag of senses, Indriyani Pranyoho, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Body means senses. So if you, your body and your senses, including the mind, you want to arrange your little tiny world for satisfaction and fulfillment, right? And what you don't see, what you don't know, why do you really have to take that into account? Do you remember your past death? Anyone here remember their past death? No.
No, why worry about it?
Do you remember your... How many of you remember being born? You remember coming out of the womb? Yeah. Oh, well, it's a rare person. Okay. If you don't remember it, if you don't know about it, then why do you have to add that into your current vision? But Bhagavatam pushes open the self-imposed barriers that we have and goes all the way to the top of existence, not simply the heavenly planets, not simply the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of Krishna, not simply Vaikuntha, but all the way to the topmost planet in the spiritual world. Now, what are you going to do about all this fantastic information? Can it really be true? Well, just look at the way human beings are living today and ask yourself the question, can it really be true? They can't get it together. Economically, environmentally, politically, they can't get it together. The economic, political, and environmental problems of today are so complex that they're far beyond the reach of our institutions. The institutions that human beings have today are meant to handle little isolated issues. And the politicians have a short term of office. Especially these days, they're changed really quickly. So, they're not around long enough to deal with a comprehensive, broad problem, even if they wanted to. The problems are too big, too interlinked, too comprehensive. So therefore, the human beings have chosen to just go on like before and hope that something will work. It's a very disempowering reality to accept that things are just too big for us to cope with. Who wants to say that? You want to feel that you're in control of your life individually. Your society wants to feel that it can determine its own destiny. That's what people want of their political leaders. Shape the destiny for Australia. Lead us forward. To admit that there's something going on beyond what you can see, this becomes very terrifying. Our psychological problem is stated very clearly here. The materialist wrongly thinks that there's no creator other than his own self. Now you might say, oh no, I'm not like that. I've always been a theist. I've always had some notion of God, or I've got nothing against God existing. My grandmother went to church here in Australia. Oh, my grandmother, when I was in India, read me the Mahabharata. So I got nothing against there being a god or gods or whatever. But to actually, as a practical daily reality, accept that there is control in your life beyond what you can see. What do you think about that? You might even think it's not fair. Why can't we just do what we want and not be bothered by this unseen controller? Psychologically, we are habituated to acting like there's no other creator than us. The conditioned soul has some basic psychological tendencies to want to be the creator and to want to be the enjoyer. You can catch yourself all day trying to do this. These are the propensities that we have to watch out for. We want to feel, materially that is, this is material, the psychology of the conditioned soul. We want to feel that we are creating something, and we want credit for it. We want to feel that we've made an impact in this world. I have done something. And we also want to, of course, feel that we are the enjoyer. Now, if we can create something for our enjoyment, oh, there's nothing better than that, right? Just think of the power. I have created something for my enjoyment. Supposedly it doesn't get any better than that. Whether you've created a house or... That's not the only kind of creativity when you're shaping gross matter. There's also creativity of shaping subtle matter. That's what people hope for in relationships. Let me create a relationship and then I can enjoy it. By manipulating the gross and subtle energies of the living beings, I'll create relationships that I can enjoy. So that's also being the creator. So all day and all night, you catch yourself scheming. I want to create, and then I'm going to enjoy. I've got to do this. Yet the process of bhakti, it cleanses that urge at the root. And that's why Krishna's devotees feel so free. They're not troubled so much by this urge, this impulse, I've got to create so I can enjoy. The more you understand Bhagavatam psychology, the more you'll see what is going on in material existence, and you'll also understand what is going on in spiritual existence. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadiya Sitaha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. This is the most profound insight into the science of God ever written in the first verse of any spiritual text. It's not simply that in the beginning God created the world. It's that the absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. So you need, in other words, from the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, your mission is handed to you. I have to understand that supreme source from which everything comes and how everything comes from that supreme source. Everything means everything. Even friendship, even romance, all forms of intimacy come from the supreme absolute truth. Now how is that so? For one who actually understands the intimacy of the Supreme Absolute Truth, how intimacy is exchanged in the ultimate source, then you rapidly lose your attraction for intimacy within the material world. Once you start to see how everything fits in, how everything fits together, then you become highly motivated to understand that supreme source and serve that supreme source. Now, sometimes we think that Bhagavatam is only meant for very intelligent persons. And in a sense, that's true. We say, well, I was never a book reader, or I was... But the kind of intelligence that Bhagavatam is meant for is not like university intelligence. Intelligence on the spiritual standard is something different. It's a spiritual quality of having willingness to hear submissively and apply what you hear. So it doesn't take a PhD. It takes simply the willingness to listen submissively, humbly, and then enter the bhakti laboratory, apply what you hear, and see the results. That is intelligence. That is buddhi. And when Krishna sees you applying that kind of intelligence, he helps from within the core of your heart. Just like you hear in this verse, Tene Brahma Hida Yadi Kavaye. Krishna, from within the core of the heart of Brahma, enlightened him how to create the universe as the secondary creator. Similarly, for the devotee, even for you, even for me, Krishna, within the core of your heart, will enlighten you how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't crack Srimad Bhagavatam, so to speak, with material intelligence. It is approached through devotional service. The more that you engage your senses in pleasing Krishna, the more you can understand the science of Krishna. And the more you understand the science of Krishna, the more you engage your senses in Krishna's service. So it's a loop that feeds into itself. The core of our being wants love. And Bhagavatam is the science of love. It's dealing with false love. It's dealing with real love. It's dealing with limited love. It's dealing with unlimited love. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam is the love book. But it's elevating our conceptions of love far beyond the little base level that we are so accustomed to. Love should mean a good feeling for the body and a good feeling for the mind. In the next verse that you'll study, you find out that anything to do with any kind of material motivation is swept out of Bhagavatam. Dharma bojita kaitavacha. Any kind of motivation that is not simply pure love for Krishna. That means a motivation for karmic gain, a motivation for mystic powers, a motivation for becoming one with the Supreme. Even the motivation to become free from material existence as an end unto itself. All that is swept out of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is dealing with pure love. The very thing that our heart cries out for. I don't think anyone here has something against pure love. You may have been disappointed and therefore become cynical, but still, in the core of your being, you're longing for that pure relationship. Who can exist without relationships? It's not simply that it's a woman's thing, relationships. But men also. They can't exist without relationships. The Bhagavatam points out to you the science of pure love and perfect relationships. That is what Krishna is all about. So yes, Srimad Bhagavatam deals with creation, sustenance, and annihilation. But that's actually so preliminary. But you need to understand that so that you don't mistake Krishna's loving affairs for some kind of mythology or folklore. So first, you're introduced to the authority of Krishna. You're introduced to his functions within the material world that you can see. How the material world is created, sustained, and destroyed. That's so that you don't mistake Krishna's loving affairs for something that you've done or you want to do. I remember at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust when we were preparing Srila Prabhupada's books, the artists, they always liked to, at that time, paint pictures of Krishna with his consorts, with the gopis. And so finally, Srila Prabhupada sent a message to the artists. Who keeps filling my books with paintings of Krishna and the gopis? We want to see how Krishna controls everything. First, you have to understand that. Otherwise, you're going to feel a little embarrassed when people ask you, do you really believe in the little blue boy? Well, do I really? I mean, I don't know if it's ever happened to you that someone's pressed you like that. Really? You think the little blue boy is God? So you need to know the full science of the Supreme. And it's not about material intelligence. That's simply, well, I don't have a university degree. I never liked to study in school. Therefore, you know. Bhagavatam, the intelligence that Bhagavatam requires is not academic intelligence. It is bhakti intelligence. Remember the Chaitanya Leela about the illiterate Brahmana in Rangakshetra who was turning the pages of Bhagavad Gita even though he was illiterate? And everyone was laughing, all the smart the Brahmanas, all the caste Brahmanas, the ritualistic Brahmanas, they're just laughing. Look at him, he's turning the pages of Bhagavad Gita and everyone knows he can't read. And Lord Chaitanya approached this illiterate Brahmana and asked him, oh, what is this? Why are you reading Bhagavad Gita? You're turning the pages even though everyone knows you're illiterate. And the Brahmana replied that my guru ordered me to do this. He ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita. I can't read, but I'm still going to try to follow his instruction. In fact, the way Srila Prabhupada tells this pastime, the illiterate Brahmana's guru knew he couldn't read, but still told him. It's not that it was an oversight. He knew he couldn't read, but still told him, every day read Bhagavad Gita. So the Brahmana humbly tried to execute that order to learn the science of Krishna. That he turned the pages every day, even though others were laughing. So he explained that to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya further presented that, well, I see that when you're turning the pages of Bhagavad Gita, tears are coming to your eyes. What's going on? And the illiterate Brahmana replied that, even though I can't read and I'm turning the pages on the order of my guru, every time I turn the page, I see in the pages Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes a chariot driver of his devotee. And seeing that in the pages, my eyes fill with tears. So then, Lord Chaitanya embraced illiterate Brahmana. And he declared, you are the real reader of Bhagavad Gita. So, we should remember that. We are trying to develop or revive our loving, devotional propensity to serve Krishna. That propensity has been so dissolved, so smashed by our material existence, that it's hard for us to think it's normal and natural. What feels normal and natural to us? The mode of passion and ignorance, not even the mode of goodness. Right? Mode of goodness feels unnatural, right? Getting up early in the morning, cleanliness. Mode of goodness means control the mind, control the senses, and as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, it means all the senses, all the gates of your body are illuminated by knowledge. So even the material mode of goodness feels unnatural. What feels natural to people in this day and age is passion and ignorance. So we should not be surprised that at first it seems like such a long shot we'll ever revive our loving propensity to serve Krishna. We have a long way to go, but the process does work. That is the amazing thing. It does work, and even in this most degraded age, it works. But you have to give yourself a chance. I often explain that a main problem today is that people don't really care for themselves. They don't even want to give themselves a chance. They don't have self-respect. They don't have any kind of self-worth because they've just allowed themselves to be put in so many compromising or exploitative situations. Economically, relationships, politically, on and on and on it goes. So that takes away your sense of self-worth. And therefore you really don't care for yourself enough to invest your life in attaining the ultimate. You just look at yourself and, me attain the ultimate? Get serious. Me attain the highest? I believe in God. I believe we're not the body, we're soul, but am I attaining a high level of spiritual development? How is that going to ever happen? But what does Prahlad Maharaj explain in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam? He requires that it's actually natural for you to revive your loving service attitude to Krishna. It's the natural thing. It's the organic thing. Whereas, Prahlad says, going to hell requires great endeavor. You really have to work at it. And that's what everyone's proving today. They're working so hard and feverishly just to destroy themselves. So that was 5-year-old Prahlad's analysis. Going to hell requires great endeavor, but devotional service is the natural thing. If you take Srimad Bhagavatam so seriously as a lifetime commitment, it will reveal itself to you. It is not a material entity. It is a literary presence of Krishna. If you want to verify that, then you apply yourself. You enter the bhakti laboratory. Or if you're already in the bhakti laboratory, apply yourself more vigorously. You'll see the result. Are there any questions? Yes.
Mahaprabhu says Amlam Puranam. Mahaprabhu says Amlam Puranam, spotless.
Well, what does that mean, spotless Purana? It means there's no spelling mistakes or there's no... What does it mean?
Completely pure.
What does it mean?
Absolutely pure.
Oh. You have to be able to explain what does absolutely pure mean.
Because it is only about Krishna and the pure devotees. All the dealings and relationships.
It is pure because it doesn't entertain any material motivations in relationship between the living entities and Krishna. Pure selfless love. Unconditional love cannot be expressed by conditioned souls. Unconditional love is expressed by unconditioned souls. So the Bhagavatam wants to make you unconditioned so that you can express unconditional love. Anything else? Yes.
How can we remain dedicated to serving the Srimad Bhagavatam?
Hear it every day. Make it so that you feel funny unless you've heard Bhagavatam. Feel like you got up on the wrong side of the bed, became a grouch. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Always eternally hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, if you can distribute Bhagavatam to others, you can very easily enter into understanding Bhagavatam. The more you give Krishna, the more you'll get Krishna. By serving the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam, you get spiritual realization. Yes.
What's that? You mentioned the artists wanting to draw pictures, to paint pictures of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada mentioned, we want to have the supreme controller. What is that tendency? There's also the tendency, and Prabhupada warns about it, to jump to the the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, just discussed, and there's a tendency to then gloss over the earlier cantos of the Bhagavatam, where all the sort of very almost technical information of the creation is being presented. So what's that tendency?
That tendency is our own lust. We think that Krishna Leela is like something we know about, when actually it isn't. We need to be prepared for... And basically what is an alien experience, exchanges of pure love by non-material bodies, by bodies that are Satchidananda. This is what I recommend that one does when reading the previous cantos with all the knowledge of Krishna's energies and how those energies work. If you think, this is too, what would you say? Too much for me, it's too much knowledge type thing. You just pray to Krishna that this is your literary incarnation. Please allow me to see your presence in what I'm reading. In other words, Bhagavatam requires attitude. It's not, as we explained, it's not an academic book, like a textbook you go buy at a university bookshop. Bhagavatam requires attitude. Bhagavatam readers require an attitude. And it's that attitude that will make the difference for you. One who wholeheartedly engages in using the senses in Krishna's service develops that attitude for approaching Bhagavatam. This is stated in the beginning, in the first canto, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi San Mahat Sevayavipra. By rendering service to the devotee, Katha Ruchi, you get the taste for hearing about Krishna, Vasudeva. So we have a completely comprehensive process for accomplishing all purposes. Sometimes, yes, you'll feel overwhelmed. That's good. It's good for a devotee to feel overwhelmed. Oh, there's always so much service to do. There's so much to hear, so much to read. That's a luxury. Once you understand what is real wealth, you're going to love that feeling of being overwhelmed in bhakti. In the beginning, though, you may be a little afraid. Is it always going to be like this? One thing after another. I know what's going on. You don't say it to your guru Maharaj, you just say it to a few select friends. It's always going to be like this. It's too much. It never stops. First there's this, and there's that, and there's that. There's the big Janmashtami festival, then there's a Radhashtami festival, and then there's... When do you have time for yourself? What does that mean, when do you have time for yourself? It means, when do I have time to be the creator and the enjoyer? And even you get married, you have your household, and still. You have to keep Krishna in the center. When will I be in the center? What's the purpose in having a home unless I'm in the center? That's why I'm working so hard. Gradually, as we become purified, as our senses and mind become purified, we take being overwhelmed with devotional service and devotional opportunities as the greatest benediction. That's what Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmani Srine Pavatad Bhakti Ahoitikitwe. I don't mind taking birth after birth as long as I have devotional service. Devotional service is back to Godhead. Back to Godhead is not a physical destination, like flying to Sydney or something. It is devotional service. If you're overwhelmed with devotional service, you're well on your way back to Godhead. So if you see devotional service in that way, and you hear Srimad Bhagavatam in that way, you'll realize you're the wealthiest person in existence. Now, of course, it's true. There has to be a balance in terms of you're handling the tsunami of devotional service. But don't ever complain about it. Thank Krishna, I've got so much service. Now I do need some intelligence how to do it. So that's another thing. You got to take care of your health. You've got to make sure all aspects of your life according to your ashram are together so that you can have a solid foundation for serving Krishna. Nevertheless, you should always appreciate the luxurious position of always feeling. There's so much service to do, so many things to improve, so many things you always have to watch. Gotta watch your chanting. Is it attentive? Watch your reading. Have you read enough? Watch your relationships with other devotees. Are you offending anyone? On and on and on it goes, right? Watch how much prasad you eat. Right? Sometimes it seems just too much, right? It's going to say, ah! I want to be me! That means I want to be the creator and enjoyer. Sometimes, isn't there ever a vacation in bhakti when they say vacation, meaning, isn't there like, you can just go off for 2 weeks and just forget all about bhakti? Come back more enlightened. Okay? How is it a vacation when you still have to chant your rounds, you're still supposed to read, and you're supposed to, how about a real vacation means, this is our material conception, a real vacation means you just drop all bhakti for a few weeks and just do whatever you want. And then you come back 3 weeks later and you pick everything up again. More enthusiastic, right? So it takes us some time to accept that we are eternally Krishna's servants. And the bhakti experience is the eternal activity of the eternal soul. You don't want a vacation from the real you and your eternal activities. We want to get more into it. But yes, there has to be a balance. Balance means use intelligence. How to arrange for yourself a successful bhakti lifestyle. And that always takes vigilance, guidance. The task is enormous, but the rewards are unlimited, even in this lifetime. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, in the beginning you said that before coming to Krishna consciousness, we think that we are the controllers. And after coming to Krishna consciousness, we realize that Krishna is the controller. So, but this mind still wonders that whether, which situation was better. when I'm making decisions of my life on my own, and whether, giving it to Krishna to make all the decisions for ourselves and looking after ourselves. So still there's a fluctuation. Sometimes we fall back and we say, oh, it's better that we make decisions in our life.
No, you have to make decisions in your life, but they should be informed decisions. And an informed decision means you're taking into account things that you don't see with your imperfect senses. That's all. You have to make decisions. But you want to make decisions that are inspired and informed. You have to shape your life. Krishna's given you independence to use or misuse. You have to make decisions and take responsibility for them. We want to learn how to make decisions that are inspired. We want to make our bhakti so progressive that, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Teshans Tatayukkanam Bhajatam Priti Purmikam Dadami Buddhi Yogatam, I'll give you personalized instructions from within the core of your heart how to go back to God. Because you're always trying to make the right decisions. Yes?
You can truly say the way back to God is by falling in love with Krishna, seeing and the Bhagavatam, the little blue boy. If you fall in love with him, it makes all the bhakti and everything else very easy. Because when you're in love with something, you'll cross mountains to get to your love. So if you fall in love with the little blue boy, and also his literary incarnation, the Bhagavatam, it makes it very easy to do all the hard yards, because they become not hard.
We first need to recognize our hospitalized condition. At first we have to get our health back. First, we have to clean ourselves up. In other words, love requires some preparation, education, qualification.
Well, yeah, once you understand that Krishna is the ultimate lover, and then you can dovetail all your actions and your words and your time into that love up there, then you're on your way home.
It's a good beginning. Yes.
How do you deal with the apparent dilemma that I started reading the third canto? I was thinking, rethinking Darwin, I was thinking, I'll check out some of the details of the creation. But then you come to the point where you realise that what Krishna does in creating is actually inconceivable, and you can't understand how he did it. So you've got, on the one hand, we get a description of how the material world is created, but we can't actually understand how Krishna does it because it's actually inconceivable.
You were commenting, yes.
How do we deal with that inconceivability? We can't actually know how Krishna does it. Prabhupada talks about Dr. Frog trying to, puff himself up to understand how, God actually exists, or, how big is the Pacific Ocean based on his well. We try to understand how God does things based on our material conception, but then we're actually faced with the fact that we can't understand it.
Krishna is unlimited, and we are tiny. You can try to understand as much as knowledge is there, and also as much as Krishna enlightens you from within the heart, but still you're tiny. It's a real hard thing for us to accept that we're tiny, because material activities inflate the ego and make us think we're so big. That's especially what Rajagun, mode of passion, does. I'm so big. Look what I've done. Look at my passionate activities. I've made money. I've made romance. I've made relationships. I've done things. So you puff yourself up in that way. And therefore, it's very difficult to understand how tiny we are. And that our best use of independence is to connect to Krishna's independence. As soon as we try to use our independence on our own, we're so bewildered. In understanding or trying to understand the creation, even the details differ every time Krishna creates a universe, or even after the night of Brahma, after a partial annihilation, when it's time to re-manifest the universe, Krishna may not do it exactly the same way every time, because he's a person. It's artistry. What artist likes to do the same thing every time exactly? So Bhagavatam gives you general principles. And yes, those general principles seem so inconceivable, the things you read. Someone lying on the water, and then from the navel sprouts a lotus flower. Ooh. Oh, wow. Lakshmi Devi is massaging the feet. But when you think about it, these are things you'd love to do, wouldn't you? lie on the water, and be so mystical and that from your navel comes a lotus flower. And that's the amazing thing. We say, that's too much, I can't believe that, but these are all things that we actually would like to do in terms of expressing our supremacy and our enjoying ability. I mean, just think about it. You're lying on the ocean, and then the most beautiful female energy is massaging your feet. While you display supreme artistry out from your navel, comes a lotus flower. Well, you can't do anything better than that, can you?
Yeah,
So just accept that you like to do this, and then you'll be more inclined to accept this inconceivable information. Anything else? So those who haven't, yes. You're an artist, right? You like to do things different all the time, right? Anyway, go on.
You're speaking about ability to give Bhagavatam to others, and it gives us a lot of taste. And is there any relation, any connection between our attitude and maturity in our attitude to Bhagavatam and the ability to give Bhagavatam to others?
I'm lost. What's the question?
Is there any relation between our maturity in relation to Bhagavatam? Like, how we are mature in our relation to Bhagavatam?
What do you mean by that?
Well, Bhagavatam is a person, as you mentioned.
Yes, but what do you mean?
Like, our attitude to Bhagavatam and our ability to give Bhagavatam.
Yes. Yes, the more that we have a deep relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam, it's natural that when we present it, persons will be affected by that. When persons, for example, get a book from a devotee, they're really not buying the book most of the time. They're buying that enthusiasm and consciousness that the devotee presents. You understand? They're looking at you and thinking, oh, well, yeah, this is a nice person, and this person gives me a nice experience. I guess the book is all part of that. That's Bhagavatam distribution at its best. It's a very rare person who just takes the book just because of the book itself. Prabhupada himself said his books are sold by enthusiasm of devotees. You've got to wait around just for someone who's attracted just by the book itself and not by any personal dealings with devotees. You're going to be waiting quite some time. They're quite rare. Okay? That's why we put so much time and energy into cultivating people and developing relationships with them. Because they are seeing Srimad Bhagavatam as part of the whole package.
It means that we have to be very qualified. Right?
It means what I just said. Okay. Thank you. All right. I think we're getting very late, and you know, I don't want to make breakfast go on and on. So next week. After I have to go for a retreat this weekend, but a Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.